Blog Talk Radio.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy us. Our panel is ready to also talk to you about things that you might want to discuss. So if you hear something you want to throw your viewpoint into, join us here at 646-668-8740 here at The Man's Voice. I want to say good evening to the panelists. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good break.
Doing good.
I've gotten a lot of requests in the last few weeks about we don't know who the panel is, so if you guys could introduce yourself and just tell them where you are. That's what people are wanting to hear. So let me start with Bruce.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Okay. My name is Bruce. I am in Michigan. I'm one of the several panelists. My background is I'm a civil engineer in underground infrastructure. A God-fearing gentleman, and curious to try and make things better by getting a man's point of view out for people to listen and learn from.
All right. What about John? Why don't you tell people where you are?
I'm in southeast Michigan, actually closer to Flint than I am in than Detroit. Middle of nowhere, really. I mean, it takes us about 20 minutes to go and get gas or milk or anything like that. So we're in the woods of one of the southeast counties here. Business owner for 27 years in my industry for 30, and I can't say it's boring, but I mean, you know, between the amateur race car driver and boater and fisherman and off, you know, a snowmobiler and four-wheeler, and I mean, you name it. The only thing I don't own, I think, is a motorcycle or a helicopter. So, but I just like being outside, having fun. I work outside every day, so, about it.
All right. Frank, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Okay, I'm Frank McKinney. I'm a retired submarine officer. I'm a retired realtor for about 20-some years. I'm a social advocate for people that are impoverished. That's kind of like my full-time job, giving them hell and asking those issues. And I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I'm physically on the beach right now. So if you hear that static, you won't hear it all night, but I'm literally walking the guy to a social event. So that's who I am.
Thanks. Ron, tell us a little bit about you. Ron, I know he's there.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said Don. Yes,
no.
I'm Ron Staten. I'm in Miami, and I've been in the fundraising world now for over 25 years. Right now at the Humane Society, and that's one of my passions, actually, is helping animals because they are the voiceless and helpless. Just as, you know, little kids, for example. And so that's one of my passions. Traveling the world is another one of my passions, and I've been fortunate to visit many, many countries. I've lost track exactly of how many, but I still have a lot more to see and do in my bucket list. And my schooling is actually in journalism, so it's kind of an interesting story that I won't bore everyone with how I ended up in fundraising, but journalism is my background.
All right. Well, thank you. But I'm also glad that you said that your concern is, you know, all kinds of things and kids, especially because a fact came out last week that I found very concerning, and it is that the United States now is becoming one of the premier countries for child sex slaves or trafficking children. In Atlanta this past weekend, they had a big festival or something to try to raise money, because Atlanta is the number one city in the United States for child sex trafficking. And I understand all that stuff, but when did we deteriorate to that level where we are, you know, becoming the biggest country in the world that is sending children out? I mean, oh my God, I don't know when we got there, but I do know that we need to get out of there. But now everyone's doing all of these, you know, bringing everybody's attention to it. And since we are the man's voice and families are our business, I think we all should be concerned about that. But I also think we need to discuss it among ourselves. But we need to tell our kids, because another fact that came out last week is kids today spend more time in the house than they do anywhere else. They don't talk to friends anymore unless they're texting them. They don't go outside. They don't go to movies and shows. They don't date each other anymore because they're all busy texting and everything. So I don't know how that has played into it. But I'd like to get some feedback on that. What do you think, John?
I think it all comes down to money and power. You know, if there's a demand for it, people are going to supply it. And I think you've got to get rid of the both the supply and the demand.
Okay. What about you, Ron? You brought that up about wanting to protect children and stuff. What do you think? How do we get here?
Well, I don't really know. Excuse me. I don't really know how we got here. I'm guessing that we've been here always, but maybe now it's being brought to the forefront more than it ever has. And I honestly don't know a lot. I wish I knew more about the topic than I do, but I don't know, for example, you know, who these kids are being sold as slaves to. I mean, who's buying, you know? I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around who would be involved in the selling and the buying, and, you know, it just, it's beyond me. So, you know, I wish that I would spend a little more time looking into that. Unfortunately, I haven't, but, you know, it is a problem. I know it's a problem. I hear about it in the news, and what I think, you know, and you mentioned this, David, is, you know, that the kids nowadays are indoors a lot more than they used to be. And so, you know, I want to think that, you know, the kids that have families, you know, where you know, they're being brought up in the right way, you know, it's less of a danger to those kids that are maybe on the fringes of society and for whatever reasons, you know, have fallen on bad times or drugs or, you know, problems. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I'm guessing. But, you know, it is a problem, and I don't even know where to begin to look into how to crack down on it.
You know, I saw a video yesterday that was disturbing two ways. One is this man opened his garage, and there was like a 3 or 4 year old child walking down the street, walking down the middle of the street, kind of a busy street. And he decided to go ask the child, where are you from? Where are your parents? Why are you out here by yourself? And the child, you know, really couldn't tell him anything. So he started to make the child go back to the direction, and he was following the child. And this, it went on for like a mile and a half. Parents didn't know the child was gone. But what also disturbed me was the man videoed from the back. And the reason he was videoing it was so that nobody could accuse him of taking the child. So this man was trying to do good, but he felt that he was going to be in trouble if somebody saw him taking this kid. But he let the kid just walk in front of him, and the kid, of course, running all over the place and everything. But it was a mile or a mile and a half. Folks didn't even know the child was gone. But she was just walking down the middle of the street. Tell me something, Frank. What do you think about this? I mean, this what happened to us? We used to be so, you know, concerned about our children and all these things, but something's happened.
Well, you're right, David. A lot of things have happened to us. We're not the same people we were in the past, and we need a lot of it is improvement. But yeah, white slavery. I think that's basically what that is. In some cases, there are a lot that's going on. People are being brought over the border, being held hostage in homes, being used to to provide services for people, all kinds of services. And we kind of ignore it, and they're trapped in our country. It's a big, big process. So I think it's partly, you know, we sometimes claim to be a Christian nation, but we have most of the people are unchurched in our country. And those that are churched, I even now have doubts about the validity of them being Christians. So that's what we got. It's a different way.
One of the things about us as men, we need to be more concerned about our kids and our family. I think we're kind of letting them raise themselves, because I think we've gotten very complacent about, oh, they're in the house, so they're not doing anything. But, you know, we need to look at our computers. Bruce, why don't you weigh in on this? What are your thoughts? I know you have a young grandson and granddaughter.
Oh, yes. I just saw him about 10 minutes ago. I think what's happening nowadays is the things that used to guide our children and mold our children in a much larger percentage were a strong family unit, whether it be a father, a mother, grandparents, or all of the above. And in our haste to connect and occupy our time with so many other things, IT and all of that now, I think that our kids are graduating. They're going to learn from something or someone. It's one of the reasons why gangs do so well. If they find young kids or young adults that are not being loved or paid attention to, and they do, they can make that connection. For good or for bad, they can make that connection. And I think simply we're letting too many other things other than the family unit in any way, shape, or form we can make it work, occupy time in our child's heads. And the more, you know, I understand the family unit is struggling and breaking up and so forth, but we somehow have to find a way to keep responsible adults in connection with these children. And I think the more we get back to that, the lesser these will be problems. They'll never go away, as I think Ron said or John said at the beginning, one of them did. It's always been around. It always will be. But the best defense is good interaction with solid people.
Right. One of the things, though, kids that stay indoors, when they go outdoors, they don't know what to do. I mean, like this little girl walking down the street, and she's 3 or 4 years old, and she's a mile and stuff away from her parents. So I think, especially as men, we're going to have to pay attention to our kids and our children and teach them, take them outdoors every once in a while or make them go out. I mean, it used to be, you know, that you would have to say, you know, if you had a dog, fenced yard. I think we're back to fenced yard with our kids even at that age level.
Yep.
But, you know, when they get to a certain age, then, you know, we need to back to fathers policing their kids. Where are you going? What are you doing? I don't think we do that much anymore, but I do think it's something that needs to resurge itself. All right. Bruce, I know you wanted to talk about something. What is that?
Well, church today, if I may go there, we talked about the book of Jonah. It's an extremely short book, chapter in the Bible. And the main essence that I got out of my message today was God desires us to show passion and mercy to all people, A-L-L, and not just our, O-U-R, people. And my comment or my suggestion, my challenge to put out to the audience and to my other panelists is I have to admit, I struggle with jumping off that cliff in hopes that, you know, that God or a higher spirit will do the right thing for me or with me. And to trust that much, I think that's becoming really, really more and more scary for people. You know, they want to believe it. I want to believe it. But for you to challenge yourself to walk into an environment or a situation where you normally don't belong and show compassion to those kind of people, if I can be that candid, is something that very few of us will do. And the whole message today was, you've got to do that, because the ones you have to show the message to the most are the ones that probably aren't going to believe you at first, and then he'll work his way through that. So long story short, what do you guys think about all that? I mean, do you struggle with that as well? I have to admit, it's hard. I try to do it and do have successes, but it's scary and it's hard for me to do many times.
All right, Ron, you want to take that?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question. I'm sorry, Bruce.
Well, if we're supposed to show compassion and mercy to all people, meaning not just the ones of our religion or of our race or of our comfort level or our geographic location, and kind of reach out to others, I think it's difficult, and it's becoming more and more difficult for us to do that with anybody. And the way I read our message today is God wants us to do that, not just be comfortable with the people you're normally with or what you tag or identify as your own people, but people that you normally would not approach or be involved with. So the question is, how comfortable are you with that? How well can you do that, and how well do you do that?
Well, I'd like to think that I'm a very open-minded person. I mean, I'm not going to say that that I don't hold any biases or prejudices or anything like that, because I'd be lying. I think we all do. But,
we do.
I think that at least I try to be open-minded. I mean, obviously, because I'm in the minority, even though I'm a white American, you know, because of my sexual orientation, I'm a minority. And so I know what it is like to be treated, you know, with disrespect and as a second-class citizen, as do African-Americans and any other societies or people that have been marginalized. And it's just not right. I mean, but we see it at all levels. We see our country's, you know, fearless leader doing it. We see everybody doing it. So, I mean, we see world leaders doing it. So I think it's just part of human nature. But that doesn't make it right. I mean, I think we're all equal. And under the eyes of God, we are all created equal, and we should all be treated equally, no matter what color, what nationality, what race, ethnicity, whatever you are. We're all the same.
Ron, I'd like to hear someone else as well. Thanks for that. But I have one other part, Ron. Would you purposely welcome or put yourself in a position where you could go into a group or a party, and either they know who you are or you in some tactful way they know who you are? Would you go into that where the dialogue might be very uncomfortable for you, but you'd go in it on the premise that, you know, I want to try and educate. I want to try and show.
Oh,
would
absolutely.
You do that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm 54 and I would do it now. I can't say that even 15, 20 years ago, I would have done it, because, you know, you evolve, and at least I've evolved, and, you know, I've grown, and I've finally come to the conclusion that, you know, I am who I am. I love myself, and it doesn't matter if somebody doesn't think of me as an equal or whatever. That's their problem, not mine, you know. So I don't have a problem at all, you know, going into a situation like that, and I don't think anybody should for any reason whatsoever. I mean, if it's something here we go, boiling it down to, you know, whether it's, you know, something that you choose to be or not. I mean, if it's something that is God-given, then there is no reason whatsoever in my mind that anybody should be discriminated for something that you have no control over.
I agree, Ron. I think you can teach and inform in a good way if you're confident, not cocky, and that's confidence. And I'm kind of like you. What, John, what do you think about all that?
Well, I mean, I just go by one simple rule, basically, you know, treat others the way you want them to, you know, treat you. And
Right.
You know, on a daily basis, you know, I might get 20 or 30 different emails or text messages or calls from customers. And, you know, on a weekly basis, I might meet 10, 15 new prospective customers. And so, you know, you don't know what their backgrounds are. You have, you know, really no idea. It's funny because, you know, some of the people that I wouldn't let cut my grass turn out to be multimillionaires. And it's, you know, so you never know what someone's history is, what their story is. And so, you know, I always go in, no matter who it is, who I meet, who I'm going to talk to, I always go with an open mind. And like I said, it just basically comes down to simple, you know, I want them to treat me the way that, you know, I would want to be treated, or, you know, I treat them, you know, the same way. So it just comes down to that. Now, would I go out and seek out somebody outside of a circle? I, you know, by the time I get home after dealing with people all day, I'm exhausted. I pretty much, I'm in. We don't go to bars, nightclubs. Last movie I saw in a movie theater was Hunt for Red October. So that'll tell you how much I get out.
Whoa.
But, you know, so... but, you know, we do
what,
meet.
What decade was that in?
God, I think it was the 80s, you know. But, you know, but it's funny. You know, we'll go to, we pull into different marinas, or we'll be out on the trails or stuff. We'll meet people at different places and stuff. And, you know, it's just, it's a different, when you see people in that type of situations, it's different than, you know, jockeying position with them on a freeway or something. It's a different thing. Everybody, you know, people that are in a marina, they're out there to have fun. People are out on the trails, they're out there to have fun. And I like to put myself in situations like that where, you know, you are going to have fun. Would I like to go down to watch the Tigers play a lot more? Absolutely. Do I want to be in the city of Detroit after dark? Absolutely not. You know, but, you know, it just comes down to, I try to put myself in situations where I know people are out there, you know, for a good time. I don't like, I mean, I've gotten on a couple of more Facebook pages and stuff, you know, Democrats versus Republicans. And it's like, you know, at some point, the arguing just has to stop. I get tired of it. I don't comment anymore a lot of the times, because you get the right away, you know, you're a racist, or you're anti this, you're anti that. And it's like, well, you know what, I try to sit here and go by common sense. And, you know, if 2 + 2 = 4, you know, I'm sorry, common math or common core, 2 + 2 = 5. I don't care how you get to it. So basically boils down to, you know what, I give everyone the benefit of the doubt, but screw me and I could be your worst nightmare. But,
well,
you know,
that's a normal reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a normal reaction. Frank, what's your take on all this?
Well, my take is that we really BS ourselves a lot, okay? Let me give you, 20 years ago, our church was hosting a homeless for a week. Basically, maybe there's 125 people that are homeless men and women, and they come and we feed them, and they stay and bathe. We bathe them, clothe them, and they sleep there, and they go out the next morning with a breakfast and a lunch bag, and they go to work. So when I walked in, I had my hands in my pocket, and an Afro-American gentleman looked at me and said, you know, I thought I was cool because, you know, I'm from Compton, California. And the guy said, hey, you can take your hands out of your pocket. I won't steal your wallet. So I want to tell you guys that people give off certain vibrations. And certain people are able to read those vibrations. And for me, at that particular day and time, it was a negative vibration that I was getting out, which really told me a lot about myself. And it also, you know, is a teaching moment for a lot of us if we really look at it that way. So what happens is we fail as people quite often to cross the divide. Or cross the tracks. So this homeless encounters that our church has been having for greater than 20 years, for a week, and a number of other churches do the same, a number of other denominations do the same thing. You go there, and if you interact with these folks, you play checkers, cards, or whatever it is, or just have a conversation or eat ice cream with them, you learn a lot. And it does a lot to make you a better person in a biblical sense that you were expressing this evening. And that's what the biblical, you know, connotations are, is that we are supposed to reach out, bend low, and help our fellow man. So, you know, I live in a very upscale neighborhood as well, and my office in real estate was in a downscale area, and I always wondered why. In fact, if you want to turn on the news, you know, in the area, the city that my office was in was the highest, you know, death rate of people being shot and killed and harmed. It's the place that Michael Vick grew up in. Well, you can hypothesize all you want. You can try the math, but the math doesn't work, because even me, a kid that grew up in the inner cities, a guy that's lived in New York, a guy that's lived in San Francisco, you really don't understand how to swim in that environment unless you're placed in that environment where you have to talk, communicate, do business. So I've learned a lot. And I think it's made me a better person, and it's in the process of making me even better, because I understand, you know, for instance, in this particular city of my office, all the talent that was Afro-American left. It's a southern city, so the talent, the reason why people were all commingled in this, or mingled in this area, is because of the fact of discrimination. A lot of people couldn't get out because they couldn't get the jobs, get the education, etc. It's infested with drugs and other issues. And so and people are being exploited. Sometimes they're being exploited by Christian churches and people who have degrees that call themselves reverend. So what I try to do is I'm blessed, just like some of the other people on this show are, and I just basically try to do my best every day to make a difference and to help someone that is a little bit different than I am, and not as fortunate as I am.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank. And my litmus test and all that, and I'll bring it back around to you, David, is for me, if I'm trying to do that and I succeed, you feel it. You feel it. It feels good inside of you. Kind of a little litmus test for me, and you know, if you put forth an honest effort and tried to do something and made a difference, even if you tried and didn't succeed, and you honestly tried, you'll feel good about that. But if you don't, you'll feel the other. So, thanks, David. I just wanted to get everybody's perspective on that.
Sure. Last week we had a caller that called in, and the gentleman asked for him to call back this week, so he's on the line now. And we're, you know, want to welcome him. I think he had some conversations that people wanted to talk about. I know Frank once said you call in next week. And so, gentlemen's on the line, Frank. Go ahead.
Frank, before you start with him, David, set the stage for our listeners so they kind of have a connection with why he's called back. Can you do that?
Well, I thought I just did, Bruce, but okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He called back because we wanted to talk to him. there was a lot of discussion on both sides of the table about different things, and he had an opinion that a lot of members on the panel didn't agree with or wanted to discuss. So he's back to discuss it. I know that it ended with Frank saying something and saying, call back because I want to talk to you.
Yes.
So I was starting with Frank, but everybody else wanted to get in too. So Frank, go ahead.
Well, I'm ready to listen to our speaker. I think that he was making it real, and I think we were at divergent opinions, and we sometimes shared the same base, though. And so I did appreciate his communication. So go ahead and take off where you were last week, if you remember. If not, I'll try to remind you.
Let me quickly throw in a disclaimer, because a lot of times when I'm going in talking to our people that are calling in, when I say, caller, would you like to get involved, they immediately drop the phone because they're assuming they're on air. So when somebody calls in and you're calling in and someone asks you if you want to speak, you're not on the air. They're doing that privately with you. So those of you that have that hang up when people ask you, don't do that. Just say no, or don't say nothing and we'll go on. All right, sir.
Last week we were talking about the congressional people. I think about you used a term last week to describe them, and it wasn't a wholesome term. And
like
so
scum?
I think that. Yeah, you were better than that. you were better than that. Yeah, I wouldn't describe our legislators in any of those terms whatsoever. They represent a diverse population. I think what happened is our speaker last week indicated that the people were more on the take for themselves than the representation of the people. I think that's where we were when we concluded
well, that's
our
generally,
conversation.
That's generally the history for just about every country on the planet. Most so-called leaders, senators, congressmen in every different country, even though they represent themselves, whether it's a republic or a so-called democracy, as being leaders and true representatives of the people. But I think everybody here knows that even if you are somebody who is pure at heart, if there is such a thing to describe a politician, by the time you get to Congress and you walk the corridors of power, you want to stay there, and you probably sell your mother in order to stay there. So I don't feel that hardly, well, I would feel like about 95% of the politicians there would sell out a family member for 20 pieces of silver. So we're not in good hands with this. No matter who's in charge of, or so-called in charge of the House or the Senate, neither the Republicans nor the Democrats have had our interests on their mind for decades.
There's no more Smiths in Washington anymore, correct?
No, Mr. Smith goes to Washington was probably just a copper film or something.
it was.
Yeah, and that was about it. What disturbs me is that not that they're there, the fact that the American people keep voting them back in, even though they realize that they're scum. If you have a 6% approval rating, and you've had that for 2, 3, or 4 years, and people still are voting you back in, that says something about the manipulation of the mind by the politicians or by the media or both on influencing the American people to keep voting back into their captors. So it's a sad situation.
Well, we're all guilty of it. Instead of calling them names and they're calling other people names, wouldn't it be nice if we could just boil it down to, you know, I'm not going to attack you as a person, but I'm sure as heck going to attack your deeds or lack thereof. If you can't perform and your performance level is 1.3 or 2.1, guess what? You don't belong there. But we always want to, it gets caught up in calling names all the time, and then people feel like they're personally attacked instead of focusing on their actions. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that?
No. Because they are scum. Okay, they are
scum.
And I'm not about to accord them any type
of... Well, tell us how you really feel.
I'll think about that. If they're going to perform...
I was just going to insert something in there because I think it's not the politicians. I think it's ourselves, the people in the mirror. And I think we vote these people in, as you just stated. And we keep doing it, and we vote. I mean, we've got people right now in representing us in government who leave a lot to be desired. And so I don't think it's them tricking us. I think we have a need to put these people in power.
Well, we do have a need, but the blame does belong to the politicians because they're the ones in charge of the public school system and the propaganda machine that influences people. We are caught up in the matrix, and the matrix is the result of people brainwashing people to be idiots. So I don't blame the American people as much as I used to for being idiots. They were brainwashed into doing so. They think they're doing the right thing by voting in one politician after the other. So if it's not the Republican this 2-year period, it's going to be the Democrat the next 2-year period. They keep thinking that, and don't forget, because they're thinking this, they are we, and not only we as Americans, but everybody as citizens of their own respective countries, we don't want to really, really believe that our politicians are as corrupt as to earn the name of traitor and scum. A little bit of corruption here and there, you know, taking money under the table to build a road for their buddies. Yeah, okay. But to really think that they would sell us out, we don't want to think that. So it's very, very hard. We have confirmation bias towards the politician. We don't want to think that the guy in our neighborhood was somebody who can just stab us in the back at will. But that's what they have been doing. And once we wake up to that, then we realize, no deference to the scum.
All right. Anybody have any other
part of that?
Yeah. Where are you on this, Ron? Ron? Not going to say anything?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I had it on mute, sorry. Well, you know, I can't say that I totally disagree with the caller. You know, our politicians do leave a lot to be desired. I think there's a lot more at play that you know, the common people, like all of us that are on this call right now, are not even aware of with, you know, the superpower or, you know, I forget, I'm drawing a blank right now, but, you know, the world leaders and you know, and I'm sure you've all heard about, and again, I apologize because I'm drawing a blank, but, you know, there's a plan already in place from what I understand and from what I've heard, and you know, the world's leaders are all in cahoots, and, you know, everything is pretty much predetermined. So that may seem a little far-fetched to believe, but, you know.
Well, see, there's the example of what I'm talking about. You brought up something which would be termed a conspiracy theory, and at the same time you're saying it might be far-fetched. It's not far-fetched. No, it isn't. Where I get my facts from are declassified CIA documents that you can get online by going to, the National Security website. And you can take a look at all the nefarious activities that the CIA has done in other nations for the under the guise of democracy. You can also take a look at the political history of the United States, where openly the United States government had favored and advocated forced abortion, forced sterilization, not just on black women, but on women in general, up until about 1974. That's also online. You can just Google that, and that'll pop up. And so when you take a look at it, actually do the research and take a look at the political history of our government. And for example, we have 435 members in government. And the history throughout the years of the number of felons, the number of actual congressmen who have been convicted of felonies, when you stack that up per capita, versus the top five, top three counties in America that are the most crime-infested, Congress stacks up amongst the top five. I think they have something like, over the course of time, something like 40, 50 convicted felons. And I'm a believer, and I don't know if I said this last week, but I'm a believer in the cockroach theory. If you see one cockroach, there's 1,000 more somewhere behind the walls. So if you have one congressman convicted, you've got about 5, 6, 7 more who were in cahoots with him or who were like him. And this is published by both parties. The Republican, the GOP party, has a site devoted to exposing the crimes of the Democrats, and the Democrats have a website up, at least it was a few years ago when I was doing, when I formed a coalition for Ron Paul anyway, that has a site up exposing the crimes of the GOP. But the thing is, politics in general is boring. Plus, people do not want to face the fact that the American politician is a crook. An Al Capone crook. Only he's just wearing a better suit. So until people actually wake up to that, then we're going to always think that, well, government is there to protect us. That's their job, and maybe they're negligent, and maybe they're corrupt to a certain degree, but by God, they have to get the job right one of these days. Afraid not. Let me ask you guys a question before I finish. Let me ask you guys one question. What is the greatest single cause of human death in the world?
Human death?
Huh? Well, let me give you the answer. All right, since nobody's answering.
War.
It's called democide. People might think it would be plagues. Some people might think it would be war. It's democide. Democide means it's the killing of a country's own citizens by their own government. You can look that up, too. And the United States, not any different. And I'm finished.
The question I have for you is this. Tell me about your feelings about the water problem in Flint, Michigan.
Well, probably as a result of criminal negligence by the I don't know if it was the private sector that was in charge of the water system or the government, but the fact that the government didn't step in, knowing that there was lead and other poisons in the water, that makes them a party to it. But I don't know all that much about the specifics of the Flint, Michigan tragedy.
Right, sir. Let me ask you a question. You are saying that the Democrats, or not Democrats, I'm sorry, the politicians kind of control the media, and they're forcing all this media on us to make us vote for them. But what do you see in all of your research and stuff that started it or that will end it so that we can turn this around, or do you ever see any turn around?
It's a possibility that it could be turned around, but again, in order to do that, you would have to be deemed a conspiracy theorist. And those people who are deemed conspiracy theorists are usually laughed at by the media, and the media controls the minds of most Americans. And most Americans will take a look at the conspiracy theorists as, you know, as quacks. But again, the documents are readily available. They're declassified CIA documents, for one, showing about how the CIA, for instance, against so-called American norms, mores, and policies, have gone into other countries and admitted that they've overthrown countries that they denied overthrowing for years. And, of course, people would say, well, that's over there. It's not over here. Well, you had COINTELPRO over here, which J. Edgar Hoover spied on Martin Luther King, and he spied on hippies, and he spied on anybody he wanted to spy on because he could get away with it until Congress stepped in and said, uh-uh. And then, of course, I think people here, everybody in the line, will acknowledge the fact that the NSA has been spying on us for years. That's been in the newspapers.
All right. Anybody else want to ask our caller anything before we let him go?
I agree 100%. One thing I would say is that, you know, like I said, I agree with him. I mean, you just have to sit back and look, and, you know, you start seeing some of these. I think one way of being able to take care of this is not allowing Congress, any member of Congress, to vote on anything that could be financially, you know, toward someone in their family member. How many times have we heard that somebody has pushed for something or voted for something or allowed permits to go through, and then we find out 6 months later that, you know, it was their husband or their wife owned the company or had a huge financial stake in it. You know, how many congressmen right now are just profiting and making tons of money off of the healthcare and stuff? You know, how many are making tons of money if a pipeline doesn't go through their county or their state? So, you know, there is a ton of corruption out there. I do believe laws get passed simply because it's going to benefit somebody. And, you know, that unfortunately, I don't know of any way of stopping it because they seem to have, you know, their hands in just about everything. And I can't remember, but it had to be like 1 or 2 or 3 years ago where there Congress or someone had found out that congressmen were able to trade stock off of different types of information that they had before the general public had knowledge of it. And they were going to pass a law, I believe, that they were going to stop that, where they weren't going to be able to do it. And, of course, Congress said, no, we're not going to vote that. You know, so they continue to be able to have insider stock information, insider trading information well before the public does. And they're able to get out of something. They know a vote is coming up that might harm something. Or they may, you know, they might hear that, hey, you know, we're going to legalize coal, or we're going to open up another coal plant. And, you know, next thing you know, they're buying coal stock. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're millionaires again. So I think a lot of I got to believe a ton of that goes on. You read it almost daily of who has benefited, you know, in family members of congressmen.
All right.
So, you know, what I got out of the day was is that when we talked about the congressional people and they were called a name at least twice on our show, it must be a lowly profession because nobody came to the defense of any of the congressional people, any of your representatives or anything else. So it's a pretty sad state of affairs we have here.
It is. And we think we're free simply because we can get into our cars and drive down the road until the traffic cop pulls us over. We're not free. This phone call that we're on now is being taped. Your email is being recorded. It's being admitted by the NSA and whatever sub-agencies are affiliated with the NSA. So people will say, well, I don't have anything to hide. And that's not the point. The point is you have a right to privacy, and privacy means you don't have to explain to anybody what you want to hide or not want to hide from prying eyes. And if they can have control over your private life, and just as I think people here will recognize that they're taking away our ability to use cash, they can pry on us using the NSA and the echelon facilities and the emails and everything else which Snowden exposed, and they're taking away from us our cash, which means that every time we make a purchase, they know about it.
Yeah, but I want to say one thing. I worked in the intelligence community for a short while, and and let me just say that we might want to get upset at Americans, but we really need to look to foreigners because that's where the real treasure chest is of spying that affects our nation, industrial base as well as military base. That's why these machines are set up. Because any telephone conversation is able to be recorded by a foreign national who has interest in doing that, such as Russia. That's the purpose of those trawlers that they have out on the Atlantic Ocean, and that's the purpose of them guys having spy compounds locally in the United States. So I would rather see us beef about them and the Chinese first.
All right. I want to thank our callers for calling in. And anytime you want to do that, sir, just feel free to call us. And thank you once again. All right.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank
All right.
you.
Take it easy, guys.
All right. So I think that was an interesting conversation, but I wanted to move on. We only got about 60 minutes or so, and I wanted to ask a couple of other people, maybe, John, anything you
want to
talk about today?
Not really.
We lost
him? Sorry, thought
Hello?
You said John.
John.
I thought I said.
Oh, either one.
I've just sit back and listened to what has been said, and I totally concur with a lot that's been said. I think the politician occupation is turned into a convenient occupation. it's turned into a real convenient occupation, all money driven. And it used to be a republic for the people and by the people, and it's turned into a who can make the most money, who can influence the most people to benefit their own coffers and their constituents.
we've lost focus of getting and electing people that have a heart for the people. And it bothers me. I just left a few moments ago the celebration of Jamaica, 55 years of independence. And living in South Florida, I've become a real accustomed to a multicultural generation. Coming from Detroit and being a product of the 67 movie that you're going to see, Detroit, and then going to a Catholic school, growing up in a multicultural generation, and then moving to South Florida, has made me more open to just people in general, regardless of color or skin. But the thing is, it's become so me now. It's a me generation. It's a convenient occupation. How can I get my four no more? And it's troubling.
All right. Ron, you want to talk about any of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I kind of agree. Was that Don? Was that you, Don?
Yes, that was me.
Yeah, there's one thing that I'm confused about, because I thought that the millennials are, and I know, you know, I understand what you're saying about the me generation, and I see that a lot too, but I was under the impression that millennials, and from what I've heard and read, that millennials are very concerned about, you know, taking care of, they are concerned with themselves first and foremost, I guess, but they're also concerned with taking care of, for example, the world in a way that my generation, you know, has kind of messed up and left a mess for them. I guess I'm confused, you know, because in some ways, you know, they are selfish. I'm talking about the millennials now, but in other ways, you know, they're unselfish because they want to take care of the world, and, you know, for future generations. So, I'm not sure about that statement that it's all about me, me, me.
Well, I think the millennials now have an entitlement mentality. We've put them in a position where we have enabled them, and they feel that they're entitled to certain things and certain programs and certain opportunities without paying the cost. That's what it's all about with the millennials.
All right. I want to move on a little bit. I want to ask a couple of questions or ask a couple of people, do they have anything? Let's see. John, do you have anything you want to talk about? I think I already asked you.
Okay. Not really. Just sitting right back here listening.
Frank, you got anything you would like to talk about?
I always want to talk about our commander in chief and what he might be up to.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm always interested in you know, he's on vacation, I guess. Oh, excuse me, he said he's not on vacation. He's going to take a couple weeks off at his golf course resort because they're doing something to the White House. But I'm interested in a number of things, the Affordable Care Act, you know, the congressional thing with that, the Koreans missile issue, which is one of the topics we had last week, the environment, because, you know, there's hell to pay with the revocation of different things that were put into effect during the Obama administration. So, you know, I don't know if that's any of that we have any interest in, but as a group, but those are areas that concern me. And, of course, the mooch, which I thought was the best week we had. This guy was hired as a communications director, and evidently he never took a class in communications because he didn't understand his placement in the universe. He didn't understand how to communicate with a reporter or a news person. He he uses a lot of vulgarity, and that didn't seem to bother the president at all during the initial stages of that. And he may come back in some other capacity. But I just thought that the president hired this guy. What does that say about the president?
All right. But I have a question. Is it that we want our president to be this squeaky clean guy that nobody really is? I mean, we don't want him cussing, fussing.
Well, David, let me say this right here. I served on these ships that were named after presidents, the George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, places like that. And let me just tell you, maybe we're all messed up, but these guys in the armed forces, we really believe, Patrick Henry, we really believe that these people were Clay, Stimson. We really believe that a lot of these people were great American heroes and that they weren't squeaky clean, but they were focused on the best for America.
Well, I think that's the point, is being focused best on what's for America, no matter what you say or how you do it. Well, it works on how you do it, but what you say, and sometimes being tough is how you get there, because I know that Dwight Eisenhower was a very tough president, as well as Truman sometimes, who wasn't all that flattery with the words they used. All right.
What about the Boy Scouts, David? What about the Boy Scouts speech? That's an area that a couple of you guys have expertise in. The president made a speech to the Boy Scouts. How did you take that speech to the Boy Scouts of America?
I think he flat out lied. It's obvious that the president lied about that he had a face-to-face conversation with the chief scout executive, because, we all know now that that's not true.
Yeah, we got that one. But what about the speech the actual speech he made? Is that was his speech appropriate for youth?
Not in my opinion.
Boy Scouts have been apologizing for it to the units, to my understanding, about the speech. So obviously they didn't think so.
Okay, so one last thing. We're talking about speeches. How about the speech to the police in New York, in Suffolk County? How about the "let's rough them up a little bit" speech? What about that? How did you guys feel about that?
Well, we talked about that last week. I don't think, most of us felt, comfortable, although I think John felt that it was unnecessary. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes it's necessary. John,
okay.
I think you
okay.
thought it was fairly, yeah. you thought it was noteworthy, right?
Yeah, I had no problem with it. I mean, some of these guys that he was referencing, and I think we had talked about the MS-13 gang. I mean, come on, you look at these guys here. They're not here for bake sales,
Okay.
Yeah,
Frank?
I haven't run into any of them. Didn't know they were. I heard of them. Didn't really know they were big on the map until Trump ran for president. In other words, I've been in a lot of cities, but I know on movies they exist, but in real life, I haven't run into them.
I have a question for the panelists. Members, I know we're down to like 1 minute, but very quickly, does anybody know whatever happened with the banning of transgenders in the military? Because you hear about things in the news and then you never hear about them again, and you're not quite sure.
Yeah, everything is the way it was when Obama left office with that, because they don't have a directive. They don't have a directive telling the Department of Defense what to do and how to do it.
So it was all just nonsense.
That's right. Yeah, it's a tweet or whatever it is not an official document for the Department of Defense, according to the Secretary of Defense, the retired general. So you have to give out a written order, and you have to give out an implementation, and you got to take 6 months to write an implementing procedures, yada yada yada. So it's not going to happen right now. It probably won't happen in the near future.
All right, we got less than a minute left for the show, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the solar eclipse on the 21st. the last one that was going to be like this one was in 1918. Does anybody know why this one is, everyone's talking about it, why this one is different? Do you know, Bruce?
Honest and frank.
Wait a minute, Frank, do you know why?
Yeah, I'm being frank.
Let's see. I can only guess. I can only guess, David.
No guessing. No guessing.
All right, well, then I won't guess. I won't guess at all.
Well, it's because this one is cutting diagonally across the United States, the entire United States, where usually it just kind of goes around the center. But this one, every so often, there's a way that it's set up where the Earth axis and the sun and the moon are done, where it goes diagonally across. So everybody in the United States will be able to see this solar eclipse, which is unlike most of the years in the past, or eclipses in the past. All right, that's basically the end of the show. It is 7 o'clock, and I want to thank everybody who hung in there. And, you know, there's still people on the line who are afraid to say anything, and I wish we could figure out how to get them to say something. When you go in and try to get them to talk, they'll just hang up the phone or don't say nothing. And that's okay, but we want you to hang in there with us. But, you know, the more that our listeners call in, the better we will all be. So I will see, talk to everyone again next week, same time. Guys, have a great week.
You guys all have a good week. Take care.
Same to you guys. Thank you.
Whoa. Michael, yeah. I want to go so I can get back by 8 o'clock and see Game of Thrones. This is going to take more than an hour, right? Huh? No? You saying no?
What's that gonna take more than an hour?
Run to the store, get your stuff. But it's 7:10. By the time we get there, it'll be 7 by the time. Okay. You're gonna miss Game of Thrones.
You can watch it.
You wanna go at 9 or you wanna go tomorrow? You have food for tomorrow? Well, on the way home, you can go with that money.
Light a match in there. Light a match in there.
I was wrong.
Start at 9.
Yeah. You cook something?
No.
Good.
It's me.
No, you don't smell like food. You're playing Lego? Oh, how old are you?
That was three.
What? What?
Three.
since you've been, you should have had all the games by now since you've been, I mean, come on, how many years have you been playing Xbox?
I mean, I haven't played all the time.
Okay, but you just back, right, so you should have the game because you like.
I don't like all the games, sometimes I don't have them all.
What?
I don't like all the games that come out, so I don't have them.
Well, I mean, the one, okay, once again, you should play the games you like. I didn't say all the games. What do I punch? You break the word. What am I doing?
I'm trying to figure it out.
do what? Okay, I'm back. Are you busy? Are you cooking food or something? What time did you get home? Oh, wait a minute. Michael, can you... Your game, I think your game is connected to the TV. I'm getting my Game of Thrones based on the podcast. I do comment. I'm 841 author. But I don't want to miss nothing. Are they showing me? I bet I need to spoil. Yeah, they are. Last week's one, which I've seen like 10 times. That's my phone. So, you had a good conversation with the lady? Well, one of the top listening I'm not going to be married.